It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more.
Well, hey, y'all. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast. We're sponsored by Haven Brand Soil Conditioners. You know, Annie Haven and her family have been providing an all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. I want to encourage you to check them out at manuretea.com. Now, this is the second of our annual series on new roses for the coming year. Tonight, Kristen Smith joins us from Star Roses and Plants. For over 75 years, Star Roses and Plants has worked alongside hybridizers from around the world to bring you some of the finest roses and plants on the market today.
Well, Kristen is with us. She's in the virtual studio, ready to go, and will be joining us in just a moment to talk about those new roses for the coming year. But first, I want to encourage you to check out our previous podcast. It's on our website, rosechatpodcast.com. It's a great resource. You can listen on the go via iTunes and the Stitcher app, and they're absolutely free. So why not just download all of them? We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, Kristen's going to join us to talk roses.
Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers, with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Well, hey, Kristen. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, great to be here.
Hey, we're so glad you could take a few minutes to come chat with us tonight. Now, you know, we were talking right before the show started about how cold it was. And, you know, here in Alabama, it's gotten very cold very quickly. We typically do not see below freezing temperatures until January, February. So, you know, it sort of got me thinking on, you know, so many people garden in containers these days. You know, how can we keep our containers protected from frost, or can we?
You can bring them into a garage or a basement for the winter season, and that'll protect them from extreme freezing temperatures. And you just need to be careful not to overwater them during the winter months. They'll tend to go dormant and drop their leaves, and you just want to make sure that you don't overwater them. That could lead to some root problems. But then you can gradually transfer them out outside in the spring. You know, just keep an eye on those temperatures as it warms up in the spring for bringing them back outside.
Yeah, that's some great advice. You know, there are, as I drive around, I see still, you know, lots of folks have these very beautiful combinations of container gardens, and was wondering what some of your thoughts were on some great combinations for those containers, especially for the fall season.
Yeah, you can garden with certain roses in containers. We have the Drift series of roses, which you can use in containers, and some good combinations for that are things that are easy to grow, such as sedum, that can offer some good color, especially in the fall. They tend to bloom in the fall. You can even get some sedum with really good just foliage color. Some other good choices, you know, if you have a larger container, you can try Caryopteris that will have some, typically have blue-colored flowers with, which combine well with some blooms. Or you can even try some lower-growing grasses or, you know, again, depending on the size of your container, various grasses. There's a wide possibility with different heights, different textures and colors and variegations you can choose from in that group of plants.
Yeah, that sounds great. You know, we've really gotten into growing various types of grasses this last year, and we put some in containers, and they've done really well. They tend to take over the pot, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, and that's something you can just change out from year to year. So, you know, as it grows out, you can transfer that to the garden and try a different type of grass. So it's it allows for versatility in swapping things out, you know, as the season progresses.
Yeah. You know, this past spring when we were over at Moss Mountain Farm in Little Rock, you know, Allen Smith took us on a tour of their downtown area. And Teresa and I both noticed as we walked downtown at the river front that all their containers were planted out with some type of a rose along with other plants. And you guys seeing that more and more, that people are using shrub roses as container plants, like in more so than, I guess, just a mass planting in the ground?
Yeah, and that's kind of one of the great things with the roses is that you can overwinter them in containers and put them out and you know, use that as kind of the base for the container and, you know, add in new material on a yearly basis. And, you know, eventually at some point, you know, the roses will, you know, after a year or two, you will probably want to eventually plant that out into the garden and maybe start with a newer a rose and, you know, try different colors. So I think that's a new thing that we're seeing more and more of, particularly with people with smaller gardens or, you know, not wanting to do as much gardening out in the garden is, you know, having more stuff, plants in containers that, you know, they can enjoy for a season, discard if they choose to, or plant it out into the garden.
Right. These were, I think the ones we saw were pink knockouts, and they had them planted out with some sort of a purple, you know, annual, and it was a very striking color combination as you walk down the sidewalk.
Yeah, there's, you know, with annuals or perennials, there's a range of color combinations you can choose and mix and match and, you know, enjoy as the season progresses.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I read on your website a motto that says a beautiful garden begins with exceptional plants. And that just sort of struck me as a good theme to live by, especially for folks who love to garden. I'd love to hear your thoughts around the process of getting to those exceptional plants. You know, Star Roses and Plants is known for its extensive field testing and that sort of stuff. I'm sure our listeners would be interested to know, you know, the process that you guys sort of go through to get, you know, to decide which plants are actually going to be worthy to come out on the market.
Yeah, the roses can be tested. Well, they are tested in our Pennsylvania field for at least 4 years, and the process can take as long as up to 10 years, depending on, you know, when we feel that something is ready for the market. We test on both coasts in Watsonville, California, in the more northerly location that has higher disease pressure because it is right on the coast. And our PA test field is just about an hour west of Philadelphia, so we have extremely high disease pressure there. We're close to the Chesapeake Bay, so we have lots of heat and moisture and high humidity in the summer months. And we don't spray. We haven't done that we haven't sprayed for many years, so we've built up quite an inoculum in our test fields. And we look at the roses all season long, you know, and weekly basis sometimes, and we, in addition to that, once we kind of select roses that we think are at the potential introduction stage, we will send those around to Arboreum's gardens, botanic gardens that we've been working with for many years to continue that testing kind of on an independent level and collect data and scores from those locations around the country and use that to make our final introduction decisions. So We test pretty extensively in the rose category, and that travels forth through to the woodies and perennial end of things that we do a similar thorough testing for those product categories as well.
Go ahead, Chris.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the testing. Chris and I had the pleasure of being at the Biltmore International Rose Child this June, and they don't spray these roses. And one of the big winners was one of the roses in the Drip series, the Pink Drip. And that whole series, I would have to tell you, is just one of my favorite series of roses. So could you tell us a little bit, tell our listeners a little bit about this series of roses? You mentioned it, that it could be grown in containers, but I don't have mine in containers, and I have several of them, but it's just a beautiful, beautiful rose. So tell us a little bit about this series.
Yeah, Faith, their popularity is growing every year. We're seeing more interest and demand for them. They're ground cover roses, so they don't get much more than about 1.5 feet high to about 1.5 feet wide. And that's with the recommendation of cutting them back once a year. So that's one of our recommendations, is that you do want to trim them back on a yearly basis just to help rejuvenate them. If you don't trim them back every year, they will get a little bit larger than that. But that's the extent that they will grow in one growing season. And there's 7 colors in the series, and we're always looking and testing potential new varieties to add to the series. And they are very disease resistant to various leaf spot diseases and mildews. And they are also hardy to zone 4. So we've tested these around the country, and they're very hardy, which is an added bonus. And the peach one is actually fragrant. The peach and the newest introduction, Popcorn Drift, is fragrant, so that's an added bonus there as well. They're very free flowering. They'll start blooming in late spring and continue through almost the first frost it will have in the fall.
Well, if has been listening to this podcast for very long, you sort of know the story that I left the Biltmore, and in almost between there and my house, stopped and bought 7 shrubs of Sweet Drift. and they are just growing like gangbusters. And I mean, as far as filling out, you know, they were small 1 gallon, you know, container shrubs when I bought them, and got them in the ground immediately, and in some good soil, and they have just taken off. And up until this week's, you know, really below 20 degree weather here in Birmingham, they've been in bloom. Had a blog post last week on Sunday that talked about, you know, these roses have survived to bloom another day, and they're just very resilient and bring a lot of color and a lot of joy in my garden anyway.
One of my favorites is Peach Drift. You mentioned that being a fragrant one. It just blooms and blooms and blooms and gives me so many opportunities to make bouquets, and it's so much fun to hand someone a beautiful rose that's fragrant as well. And these just keep blooming. Now, you mentioned trimming them back. Would you give us a little detail about how much to trim these back each year?
Yes. You want to trim back by about 2/3. So you can really take them back pretty hard. I have Red mm-hmm. Drift in my garden at home, and I really trim it back as almost as far back as I can go. And you want to do that in the late spring before the rose starts fleshing out. That could be various times depending on where you are in the country, but in late spring generally before they leaf out is when you want to prune them, and you can prune them fairly hard. And that'll, like I mentioned, keep them kind of in the more compact, maintained size, and also allow them to be more free-flowering, rejuvenate them a little bit year after year.
Great. Good advice. Kristen, now let's talk about some of these new roses that I'm sure are going to become favorites. And first up, let's talk about Delish Hybrid Tea. I'm thinking the color alone is going to get this rose noticed. What do you think?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite introductions for 2014. It's a true old-fashioned flower. It's very extremely full, many petals. And the other great thing is it is fragrant. It has like a strong citrus fragrance, which is great. So it makes it excellent for cutting, bringing indoors. And it's also pretty disease-resistant, especially for us on the east. It will still have some leaves throughout the summer months, even without spraying. But this is one of my favorites for the upcoming year.
I read somewhere that one of the catalogs said northern growers like me should rejoice. So So is this one going to be hardy in my zone 5 garden?
Yes, it's been hardy to zone 5. So it will come through some tough winters. And it's just an all-around great rose. It won the ADR contest in Germany, which is a pretty expensive disease trial test overseas. So it's won some pretty good awards.
It is a beautiful, beautiful rose. Thank you, Kristen. Next up, we're going to talk about the Iconic series. Tell us a little bit about this series. This is a different looking rose, so tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, these were bred in California by a breeder that had been working with Holthenia roses, which is a species type of rose. And Holthenias generally do not rebloom and don't have really good disease resistance. And so he's kind of cracked the code a little bit on that species and has been able to create some roses within that from that background that will rebloom. And although they don't have exceptional disease resistance, that is, they'll be prone to black spot, particularly on the East Coast. They're excellent roses for the West Coast climate, or if you are spraying. And they're characteristic by the dark blotch. So some of them are double in form, but will have a darker kind of rosy kind of red to burgundy color in towards the center of the bloom. And a lighter complementary color towards the outer part of the petals.
The center just makes it outstanding. I mean, just really a standout. The one I'm looking at is the Lychee Lemonade. Did I say that correctly?
Lychee Lemonade?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the new introductions and the newest introduction to that series. We have a few earlier introductions, but Lychee Lemonade is the newest one. And they also perform well on their own roots. Most of our introductions these days are plants that have tested well on their own roots, so they're not on a different understock.
Right.
And this rose is very vigorous.
Yeah. Now, Kristen, why is that important as far as, you know, from someone who maybe is just getting started growing a few roses? Could you tell our listeners, you know, what the difference is between own root and, you know, something that's grafted and, you know, why you think that own root's better?
Historically, roses have been budded, usually on a different understock, for reasons of making it more vigorous. The roses had been hybridized and, you know, had lost some vigor. So by budding it on a different type of understock, such as Dr. Huey or Minetti, it allowed the rose to be much more vigorous. And so we've gone away from that because particularly, if you get a really harsh winter per se, the top, the actual rose that you want may die back, and the understock, being vigorous as it is, may eventually, overtake that old, the actual rose that you want. It sometimes allows the rose to be a little bit more hardy per se. So if, if you have a bad winter and then the rose, does almost die back to the base, it will, more times than not come back from the base as the true rose that and over time, it seems we've noticed this with Knockout in our test field. We have a old budded plant of Knockout that's been in the field for 10 years, and gradually kind of the understock has taken over that original Knockout plant. So just kind of ensures that the rose that you purchased is the same rose that you'll get year after year after year.
Yeah, I've had a couple of calls, from folks locally, that we're listed as consulting rosarians in the area, and they'll say, my peach-colored rose has all of a sudden gone dark red, and it only blooms once a year now. And that's where it's reverted back to that rootstock. So some good info.
Yep.
Next on our list is a rose that is surely going to get some attention in the garden, and it's called Fired Up, and it does look hot. So can you tell us about this rose?
Yeah, Fired Up is a really, really spectacular, unique new rose. It has a striping color. It's kind of a red with a red orangey with yellow stripes. It's just a real standout in the garden, very unique and different. Again, one that is going to be better for the drier climates of the West Coast. It's going to be a little bit more, have some issues with leaf spot diseases on the East, but a really unique, new, distinctive rose.
It's very pretty. And anytime you hear the word floribunda, you know you're going to get lots and lots of flowers.
Yes.
You know, it reminds me of a couple of other roses, you know, that are on the market today, but this has such a deeper, vibrant orange color that I think is going to be very appealing, especially if folks, you know, this time of year when the blooms are starting to fade in a lot of areas, and you get this type of color for fall containers and you know, fall arrangements. I think it's going to be a great addition.
Yeah, and it's great because the striping is very stable. Sometimes with striped roses, it, you know, with different seasonal conditions and things, you can almost lose that striping, but at least on this one, it stays pretty stable and consistent throughout the year.
Yeah.
What's the size on this rose? Would it be good for containers?
This is going to be a more of a traditional rose that's going to get up to about 5 feet high. So generally probably better for the garden than containers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Very pretty. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to grow it in a container.
Confessions on roast.
Yeah. True confessions. I'm going to try it in a container.
You'll have to send them some pictures, Chris.
Okay.
Well, since I am not in one of those warmer climates, I would probably have to grow it in a container or grow it as an annual, but it's so pretty, and I can see where it would be so spectacular in the fall garden for sure. Well, next on our list is from the bougainvillea. Did I say that correctly?
Yes. this is the newest introduction to the lookalike series, which is a new series that we've developed for roses that are non-traditional, that, you know, we've kind of been gotten creative and sort of described them as something that, you know, else in the horticultural world that they look like. So this one is really great because it's a true red color. It's a strong red, and it blooms pretty consistently from spring through frost with these large clusters of small blooms. And the other great thing about this one is it has a really good show of the hips later in the season. So even after it's done blooming, it gets lots of little red hips that will continue and persist into the fall and winter months.
So that's pretty cool. Now, Teresa, can you say bougainvillea three times real fast?
I don't think I can. I'm afraid to even try. Such a much better job than I did.
I love that. That's a very unique name.
It is, and a very beautiful rose. And so many of our gardening friends are looking for those things that are beautiful and low maintenance, and I think this is probably going to be a great rose for the busy rose gardener. The next rose on our list is has the parent of Gemini, which is one of my very favorite roses, and it's called Mercury Rising. So when you say Gemini as a parent, you certainly have my attention. So what can we expect from this rose?
Yes, it has a similar coloration to Gemini, kind of with the ivory and the pink effect on the edges of the petals. It's got the great exhibition form you would expect from Gemini. The foliage is a little bit more glossy, which helps offset the blooms. And it's also performs well in its own roots. So while Gemini hasn't performed well in its own roots, this one will. So it's kind of fit our new model.
Mm-hmm.
And it would also be great for cutting. Again, more of a traditional rose, getting up to 6 feet tall in the garden.
Oh, wow. So it's going to rival Francis Mayon as far as height?
I don't know if it'll get quite as high as Francis Mayon, but I've heard reports of it getting pretty tall. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm excited about this, Rose. You know, I exhibit in our local Rose show, and I'm always looking for, you know, new roses that are coming out that have exhibition potential. And like Teresa said, I love Gemini. We've got three shrubs of it. And this Mercury Rising's really caught my attention. And there's been a lot of buzz about it in our local Rose Society anyway. So I'm excited to see this one.
Well, if it's anything, if it's true to the picture, it's definitely going to be on the show table. The picture is just lovely. Just lovely. Okay, we have one more beauty on our list, and that's Tahitian Treasure. Tell
this
us
is another
about
one.
Tahitian Treasure.
This is another one of my favorite roses. It's one that has performed really well, particularly on the testing on the East Coast. Actually, it's kind of reversed. Mm-hmm. Most things do well on the West Coast, but this one actually does a little bit better on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. We've had it at various universities and testing facilities down south, and at Louisiana State University and University of Tennessee, and it's performed really well in trials there, as well as our Pennsylvania test field. And this has a really unique color, kind of hard to describe, deep salmon pink, but with cooler temperatures, it almost kind of gets a more salmon-y, kind of orange, corally color.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely in the heat of summer, it will be more of a pink look. And it's a very disease-resistant rose bred by the breeder of Knockout, Mr. Will Radler. And this has just done a really nice job in the tests over the past five or 6 years.
I can give a report from my Birmingham garden. I've been growing this rose. This is the second year in our garden. First year, it was sort of a wait and see. You know, it had to, like, you know, get its roots in the ground. And this year, it just took off. Beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful blooms. We've really enjoyed it. Everybody who comes through the garden wants, you know, because it has that real unique color. And, you know, people who come to our garden, we have lots of yellows and whites and some pinks. But this is a very vibrant colored rose. And folks always want to know what the name of it is. So it's an eye catcher for sure.
Mm, nice.
I, you know, the way it shrubs up and you know, very nicely and blooms. You know, we had, even with all the weather fluctuations we had this year, we still had four good bloom cycles this year out of our roses. So we were excited to see that. You know, you could see this in a mass planting somewhere. It would do very, very well.
The color just is outstanding. The picture that I'm looking at, it is definitely more coral. Did you find it more coral in the heat of your garden, Chris?
Well, I did. More so in the, you know, as the months started to cool off. Now, in the heat of the summer, it's a very vibrant pink color, but then it sort of tones down a little bit. So we were, I love roses, and the ones that actually change, you know, with the weather conditions.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, one of the very unique qualities about a rose. So many other plants, and Kristen, I'd love to hear your comments on this, since you're, you know, in this business, that, you know, the role that the weather, you know, the heat and the humidity plays in the coloration of different plants.
Oh, yeah, it's very true in roses. There's, you know, some that are more consistent throughout the season, but certain varieties are definitely more sensitive. Thinking of actually Popcorn Drift along those lines, where in the cooler temperatures it will almost have a more pinkish hue to it, but in the heat and humidity of the summer it'll be almost, you know, be kind of start yellow and then just fade to pure white. So you know, you could really kind of go on and on with some of these flower descriptions on certain roses.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Well, Kristen, we're coming to the close of our time together, but before we let you go, we want to ask you a question we ask most of our guests, and that is, if you could visit any garden in the world, where would it be?
I think I'm not sure if I'm going to say it right, but it's the Kirstenbosch National Botanic Garden in South Africa. It just seems kind of like a world away, and with really different, unique plants, you know, completely different than what I'm used to on a day-to-day basis here. So mm-hmm. if I'm ever in South Africa, I'd like to stop by that national garden.
Wow.
Well, you'll have to get Jacques Farrar to let you tag along with him on his world travels. So.
Exactly.
I've been trying to get him to take me with him, and he won't let me go. So
just won't bite on that one, will he, Chris?
No, he won't. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for taking just a few minutes to come chat with us tonight and share with our listeners all the beautiful new roses that are coming out for 2015 from Star Roses and Plants. We really appreciate your time.
Well, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right. We'll talk to you soon. Now, Star Roses are available nationwide at your local garden centers, and I want you to go to those local garden centers and ask, where are your Star Roses? They'll be sure and check them out. You can check them out online at starroses.com. You know, it's hard to believe we're at the end of yet another broadcast of the Rose Chat podcast. I want to thank each and every one of you for your ongoing support of our show. Now, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us up. Just use the Rose Chat hashtag in your tweet or send us an email at grow@rosechat.info. Until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.